All right, take your Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and no, last week I didn't stay home to watch the Super Bowl, so I heard I got a little bit of a bum rap because I was not here, and I promise you, I really wanted to be here. I was desperately ill. I told my wife, I said, man, I got to go tonight. I mean, how can the assistant pastor be sick on the night of the Super Bowl? But anyway, so praise the Lord, I am feeling better. Thank you for praying for me this week. I had a rough battle with my health this week, but the Lord healed me, so praise the Lord for that. So Matthew chapter 25. And let's all stand, please, in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is going to be a familiar parable to some of our young people. I've been teaching them about this in youth. But we're going to look at this parable tonight. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, the Bible says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message tonight, Lord. And God, this is a sober parable we read, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us as Christians for our hearts to be challenged. Lord, more importantly, though, Lord, help our lives to be changed. God, help us to take the principles we're going to learn tonight. And God, I pray that you'd help them to apply them to our lives. Help them to teach them to our young people. And Lord, help us tonight through the preaching of your word. Now, bless our pastor tonight, Lord. We love him. We thank you for him. We pray that you'd just keep him safe wherever he's at tonight and bring him back safe to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but as I read this parable, it burdens me as a Christian. It burdens me because it reminds me of my stewardship and of my responsibilities and what's going to be required of me as a steward with the things that God has entrusted me with. And I can't help but read this to be burdened. It burdens me to think of all the times where maybe I haven't been the right kind of steward I should have been. It burdens me because, and I'm sure most of you do also, but I have a burning desire in my heart for one of these days for my Savior to look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you know, folks, that's a goal worth attaining. That's a goal we're striving for. And I may not have a lot of money while I'm down here on earth. I may not drive the fanciest vehicle or live in the nicest house. But if my Savior can look at me one day and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I will have accomplished what I want to accomplish on this life. And I think as Christians, that should be our burning desire for our Savior to be able to look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Young people, you want a goal we're striving for, that's one right there. You know, when you get to heaven, it's not really going to matter how much money you made or how many toys you had or whether or not you had the biggest and the nicest and fanciest house or had the most expensive job. What's going to matter is if your Savior can look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But not only that, as a Christian, it also burdens me as a leader. It burdens me to think of the people under my influence. of whether or not they are doing what they must do to be the stewards that the Lord requires of them. You see, folks, and I'm sure you know this and you realize this, but this thing about the Christian life isn't a big game. And we don't invest everything we invest into young people. We don't spend the tithes and offerings that you give and turn around and invest them so our young people can just kind of play the game of the Christian life. That's not what it's about. And as a leader, it burdens me that the young people under my influence can also learn to be good stewards with what God has given them. And I want our young people to understand that this idea of the Christian life in their mind needs to be more than just a game. It needs to be more than just a phase you go through. It's more than just, you know, coming to church 3 times a week. And like what Brother Leonard said this morning, checking off a box. And folks, we got to understand something, that we are going to be held accountable as stewards with what the Lord's given us. And I want our young people to get that. And I want for our young people, for this thing of the Christian life, to not be something that they just do, but I want it to become something that they truly are. And I have a burden for our young people to be like that. You know what? I believe something, and I believe this with my whole heart. You look around here tonight, and we have some good young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know, sometimes it's easy for us as adults to kind of look at some of the things that our young people are doing that we don't think's right. But folks, if we look back at where we were at, most of our young people are doing better than we were when we were there. And we got some good young people in this church. We got young people who are hard workers. We got young people who serve in the ministry here, who love their pastor and love their authority and love their parents. We have some good young people, Blessed Old Baptist Church. And you know what? That's a reflection of you parents. That's a reflection of you parents, of what you put into them. And thanks to you parents for putting them in a place where they can learn those kind of things. Thank you to the young people for being willing to go soul winning on Wednesday. Thank you for you young people for being willing to go to the nursing homes and serve in the nursing homes and go on bus visitation and get up early and ride the buses on Sunday and help in the master clubs. Thank you for you young people for doing that. And I want you to know that I appreciate that. I'm glad you're not out in the world tonight. I'm glad you're not out with a hangover. I'm glad you're not out smoking cigarettes and doing what most of the teenagers are in this area. Thank you, young people, for that. I appreciate that. But you know what, folks? We can't get satisfied. We've got good young people. We've got a good church, but we can't be satisfied with that. I'm thankful for our young people aren't on drugs, aren't alcoholics, aren't running the streets. Thank God for that. But let me ask a very direct question. Are they doubling their talents? Maybe we should ask ourselves that question, as Christians. Are we doubling our talents? And tonight, I want to bring a message I've entitled this, How to Help Our Kids Double Their Talents. How to Help Our Kids Double Their Talents. You know, folks, it's the easiest thing in the world to become comfortable as a Christian. And you know what being comfortable is? You know what the example of being comfortable as a Christian is? It's the last church we find in the book of Revelation. It's the church of Laodicea. And see, Jesus said about them that they weren't cold or they weren't hot. What do you call it if you're not too cold or you're not too hot? You're just right, aren't you? You're like the baby bear's porridge. You're just right. You know what we are? We're comfortable. And as Christians, it's easy for us to get comfortable. And folks, we can't allow ourselves in our Christian lives, we can't allow our young people to get comfortable in their Christian life. When it comes to the talents that our Lord has entrusted us with, we must do one thing, we must double them. God expects us to double our talents. I tell our young people this often. I tell them this in the Christian school. I tell them this when we preach in youth. I sound like a broken record because I say this so much, but I'm going to continue saying this. Folks, do you realize that teenagers are going to be taken in the rapture? You understand that? Not every teenager is going to get the opportunity to grow up and do what God may have called them to do. So let's think logical for a minute. If the rapture were to happen tonight, and the teenagers and the young people in this room who aren't adults would go to heaven, what would they have to get rewards for? What they've done up for the Lord up to this point. Am I right? I mean, teenagers can be rewarded, but what are they going to be rewarded for? What they've done up to this point. A teenager, if they get taken to heaven in the rapture, or if they die prematurely, aren't going to be rewarded for what they were going to do. Or what they intended to do. Our young people will have rewards based upon what they've done up to this point. And as the youth pastor and as the principal of the school, that burdens me. And I think as parents, that should burden us too, that our young people are fulfilling the responsibilities that God wants them to fulfill. So I ask ourselves tonight the question, how to help our kids double their talents. And I want to give you some things tonight that I pray will help you. First of all, I want to make a couple observations about this passage we just read. The first thing I want you to understand is this, is that all of them were given some talents. Every one of them were given talents. Look with me in verse 15. The Bible says this. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Everyone was given talents. In this parable, talents were referring to money. But today, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about, doubling our talents. I'm not necessarily talking about doubling a financial investment. Because if you're like me, you may not have a lot in that area to have to double, all right? And but no, that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about money. And tonight, I'm not trying to talk about as far as making some wise financial investment. Today, talents refer to the things that God has blessed us with. That's what it refers to here. I did some research and I typed in the Census Bureau and did a search on that and found out that Greene County has a population of 33,360. That's the population of Greene County. And I realize some more counties are represented here tonight besides Greene County. And I know you guys from Sullivan County don't like to be referred to as Greene County, and I don't blame you for that. But for sake of illustration time, let's just take Greene County. Greene County has a population of 33,360. Approximately 23.4% of that 33,360 are under the age of 18. That means there's 7,806 young people in Greene County that's under the age of 18. I want you to think about something for a minute. Out of those approximately 7,800 young people in Greene County, less than 0.5% are in Blessed Hope Baptist Church tonight. Less than 0.5%. You know what, young people? You are in the less than 0.5% that gets to attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. To me, that is quite a responsibility God has blessed you with. Not only that, young people, you are less than 0.5% that gets to have Pastor Jerry Ross as a pastor. You know what? You're a blessed young people tonight. You're in that less than 0.5% of all the young people in this county that have the opportunities that you have having attending Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's quite, folks, that's quite a responsibility that God has placed upon us. Thank goodness for that. What a blessing. Most of you have godly parents, you have Sunday school teachers, you have many godly influences in your life. Would you not agree with me tonight that our young people have been given some talents? Would you not agree with me there that just by being in this place, God has given our young people some talents tonight? Not only that, but how about the privilege of living in America? What a privilege that is, folks. Do you realize, young people, that you didn't get to choose where you were born at? You didn't get to choose where you were born at. You didn't get to choose who your parents were. God chose that for you. And if you're here tonight, you have the privilege of growing up and living in the greatest land on the planet, our great country, America. That is a talent that God has given you. Now, young people, I want you to understand something tonight. God's given you some talents. Okay? And that's exactly what we find in the parable here, that God gave all of these men, or the master, the Lord gave all these men some talents. So here tonight, if you're a young person that attends Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you have some talents. Okay? You have some talents. Not only that, I find this in this parable. Not everybody is given the same amount of talents. Okay, we just read where some of them had, one servant had 10, one had 5, and one had 1. And you know what, young person? Understand something. God didn't make you all the same. God made you say, well, you know, yeah, but I'm not like this young person. I don't have the advantages they have. Let me read a verse to you. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:12. I call this the tongue twister verse. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, what's that mean? That means this. Okay, God doesn't expect you to compare your Christianity to others. God expects you to compare it to Him. Okay, you're not a good Christian based upon how the person next to you is doing in their Christian life. You're not a good Christian based upon how you're doing compared to where the pastor's at or things like that. Young person, you need to compare yourself to one person, and that's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the benchmark. Okay, now, we need to be godly influences for you, but we're not the benchmark. You know who the benchmark is? Your Savior, Jesus Christ, is the benchmark. And so you may say, well, I haven't been given some of the opportunities other kids have. Some of you are young people in this room tonight. You didn't grow up in a Christian home. You have had a hard life. You come from a broken family. And you know what? That's okay, because God doesn't give everyone the same amount of talents. He's given them, like the Bible says here, every man according to his several ability. So not only do we find that they were all given talents, not only do we find that not everyone's given the same amount of talents, but here's what I want to hone in on tonight is this. No matter how many talents God has given you, He expects the same thing. He expects for them to be doubled. It doesn't matter how many God's given you, whether He's given you five, whether He's given you two, whether He's given you one. He still expects the same thing, and that is for us to be doubling our talents. The Bible says in Luke 12:48, "For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." You know what, young person of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Let me inform you of something tonight. You've been given much. You've been given much. We as Christians, we the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, young people and adults alike, listen to me, we've been given much. God has given us a lot here. And you know what God does when He gives much? He requires much. God requires much. And I'm afraid too many Christians are taking the talents that God's given them and they're burying them in the earth. And God is very explicit when He comes to what He expects from His stewards. God expects something from us, folks. He expects us to do something with those talents. You know what that is? It's to double them. We must be busy about doubling our talents. So here's the message tonight. I want to give you three practical areas where we can help our kids double their talents. Number one is this. Teach them and give them opportunities to be servants. Let me say that again. Teach them and give them opportunities to be servants. Five times Jesus uses the word servant in this parable. The word servant, servants, serve, and service are found over 1,300 times in the Bible. I think if God uses a word over 1,300 times, He probably thinks it's pretty important. Okay? And folks, I want you to understand something, and I want our young people to understand something, that we need to be busy about being servants. Luke chapter 22, I love this story. I like it because it reminds me of me so many times. We have an inside conversation here amongst Jesus' disciples. "And there was awful strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Here they just followed Jesus from some great thing that He'd been doing, followed Him around. And what are the disciples talking about? They're not talking about all the great things Christ just did, all the miracles they just saw. They're talking about who's going to be the greatest. And you know what, folks? If the disciples were talking about that, aren't we also guilty of that? And we may not verbalize it out loud, but how many times in our own minds we think we're the greatest? Folks, we all battle that. We all fight that. And I like what Jesus said here. "And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so." Now notice what Jesus says here. "But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve." Wow, if we could all get back to this philosophy in our lives. If we could all get back to the servant philosophy. Folks, we must teach our children and our young people to be servants. We must give, and not only teach them that, but we must give them opportunities to be servants. And I told the boys this week at school, I said, "Guys, I said, I'm tired of walking past trash cans that need emptied and walking by them two or three times before anything happens to them." I said, "You know what? A lady monitor should not have to tell you to empty a trash can. You have my permission anytime you see a trash can just to go take the trash out and take care of the problem." And you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to teach our young men in our school to be servants. Not only just to be servants, but to look for opportunities to serve. And you know what, folks, as parents, we got to help our kids be servants. Because you know what? As you found out, this doesn't come naturally. We are not natural servants by birth, are we? Not one time have I ever had to look at my kids and say, now you know what? You guys are being just way too nice to each other. Quit sharing so much. Are you kidding? I mean, you know, on the way to church, it's, he's poking me with this, he took this, it's mine, that's my candy. You know, how many times as parents we hear that word, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine." Folks, it doesn't come natural. We must teach our kids. We've got to train them to be servants. We were with the Leonards this afternoon, and we went up there and had lunch with them. And my wife and I were talking about this on the way home. And I was, you know how you are. You watch other people's kids. And that boy that was there here with them, their oldest son. As soon as he got home, his parents not one time had to tell him. He started loading up their van, their vehicle, getting it ready for him. He was taking stuff out. And not one time did his parents ever have to look at him and say, hey, why don't you go put that stuff in the vehicle? He was just there ready to do it. Those little girls that they were taking and throwing trash away. You know what? Those parents have trained those young people to be servants. And you know what, folks? We've got to train our kids to be servants also. If there's going to be any young people in this area who are servants, it should be said that the kids of Blessed Old Baptist Church are servants. And we must train them. Because, folks, it doesn't come natural. We are natural, selfish people, aren't we? By nature. We're just selfish. We all are. I'm selfish. You're selfish. We're all selfish. And we've got to train our kids. We've got to work it on ourselves to be servants. And it doesn't come natural. Why do we have a hard time being servants? It's because we're selfish and lazy. Why didn't this steward, why didn't he double his talent? You know why? Because he was selfish and lazy. The easy thing was to dig a hole and bury the talent. That was the easy thing. He didn't want to have to go and take the work it took to invest that talent and the time it was going to require to do that. You know, he didn't double his talent because he was lazy. He was selfish. And folks, we cannot afford to be like that. We can't afford to allow our kids to be like that. We must be busy about helping our kids give them opportunities to serve. We must create opportunities. That's why we take our young people to the nursing homes once a month and have them sing and give their testimonies and our young men preach. That's why we do that. That's why we take them out on Wednesday into the community so they can go soul winning. That's why we try to give them opportunities. Now, folks, we need to look around. There's opportunities for service everywhere. They're everywhere. We need to look for them. You know, yesterday I stopped out in the building. And you know, when I was out there looking around, you know what I noticed? That building needs a good picking up out there in the building. I mean, you know, we've been out there working, insulation, plumbing, all kinds of stuff. That building just, you know, it needs a good picking up. And folks, there's no reason our skilled men who can only do the electrician work, who can only do that kind of work, and most of them are older deacons, should be out there picking up trash in that building. Where's the young men wanting to be servants? This is what I'm talking about tonight, folks. I'm making it practical. How come some of our teenage boys have never one time stepped a foot in that building unless it's been some school hour and they wanted to get out of their schoolwork? And I'm not mad at anybody. But we need to teach our kids to be servants. Every one of our teenage boys should go out in that building and look for opportunities to serve. Now, I know they can't go out there and wire stuff. We wouldn't want them to. All right? They can't build walls. You know, we don't want them to do that kind of stuff. But you know what? There's insulation that can be hung. That's a good job for a teenage boy. There's trash that needs picked up. There's things, there's lumber that need to be carried. There's things that men, we've got to help our young men be servants. And we need to look for opportunities to be servants. And there's areas of service everywhere, folks. Just look around. And we've got to train them to be servants. So how are we going to help our kids double their talents? Well, first of all, we must teach them and give them opportunities to be servants. Not only that, but number two is this. Don't accept excuses for failure. Don't accept excuses for failure. Let's look with me in verse 24 and 25. When the master come to reckon, let's see what the servant said. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I can almost hear the whining tone here. Lord, I knew that thou wast a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there hast that is thine. Now, let me ask you a question. Was the master's response, oh, you poor little servant, I know you did your best, and I know you probably intended to go out and double my talent, you poor little boy. Is that what the master did? No, let's look at the response of the master. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away, even from which he hath. And cast ye, notice what the master says here, that unprofitable servant into outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, folks, listen to me, okay? We cannot make excuses for failure, okay? Will our kids mess up? Absolutely. Will we as adults mess up? Absolutely, okay? I don't think anyone here has the golden seal of perfection stamped across their chest. I sure don't, okay? You don't. Our kids don't. We don't expect them to be perfect. But it's not a matter of if you fail. It's a matter of what you learn from when you fail. You know, some of my greatest lessons in life have been, it's been when I failed. But, you know, this is the problem. When we fail, when our young people fail, okay, is to let them off the hook. Oh, I know you didn't mean to do that. That's okay. Okay, it's all right. No, folks, as parents, as leaders, as authority, we cannot make excuses for failure. Okay? And obviously, our generation is full of excuses. What happens when somebody gets arrested for something? What's the first thing they do? Well, it's their fault. It's my childhood. It's my parents. Everybody wants to point a finger at somebody else. Folks, we must teach our young people to take responsibility for their actions and not accept excuse for failure. This is the problem. When our kids fail, instead of figuring out the character flaw in their life that caused them to fail, we want the benchmark to be lowered so that they can reach it without much effort. What good's that do? When kids fail, it's a character flaw. And we've got to help work out that character flaw. How does that teach them to be men that God wants them to be? You know, one of the many slogans that we have in our class at school, I try to teach your young men some deep, deep things, all right? And one of them is, hold your bladder. No, I'm just kidding. And they're always wanting to go to the bathroom during class. I'm like, guys, you don't sit more than 50 minutes. Unless you're sick, you don't need to go to the bathroom during class, so hold your bladder. But one of the many slogans I have is this: failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. Now, are they going to fail? Sure, they're going to fail. But in their minds, I want them to think that they can't fail. Because you know what? We know what we're trying to do by doing that. Are they going to fail sometimes? Sure. But when they fail, I want it to bother them and eat at them so much that they will figure out why they failed and make the necessary judgments to be a success. Okay? You know, why doesn't it bother us when we fail? Why doesn't it bother us as much? You know what? It should bother us. When we fail, it should bother the fire out of us. You know what? I hate to lose. I hate it. I mean, when we have some friends over sometimes and we'll get together and play games and stuff like that, I've been accused of cheating because I don't like to fail. And let me tell you something. Me and Brother Greg, when we play Rook, we don't cheat. All right? Just so y'all know that. Okay? Now, our wives think we cheat. All right? And they got it schemed out how we give these signals and all this and all that. Well, that's just not true. We don't cheat. We win. All right? But you know what? I play for blood. I hate to lose. Where is that in the young people of today? We should hate to lose. It should bother us when we fail. And you know what? We should transfer that same drive and same determination to our Christian life. We should transfer that same drive and same determination. You know what, folks? I'm not going to apologize for holding your young men to a high standard around here. I'm not going to apologize for that. Now, I'm not going to belittle them. I'm not going to make fun of them. But you know what? I would be derelict in my duty if I did not expect your young men to come up to a standard that's been set. And you know what? I'm not going to back down from that. I'm not going to lower the standard so little Johnny can meet it. You know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to help little Johnny figure out his character flaws so he can come up to the standard. And I don't apologize for holding a high standard in the things that we train and teach around here. And you know what, folks? I would rather err on that side than I would err on the side of making it just a little bit too easy. Because nowhere in life do you, or most of the time, y'all, the old slogan, what doesn't kill you makes you better. And that's absolutely true. And you know what? We got to train our young men. Especially our young men, our young ladies too. But we got to train them to have the desire and the drive to want to be a success. And you know what? We should transfer that same drive to our Christian lives. It should bother us when we fail spiritually. If you missed a day reading your Bible or praying, that should bother you as a Christian. If you missed an opportunity to witness to someone that the Holy Spirit's brought across your way, that should bother the fire out of you as a Christian. Why do we just shrug it off? Oh, well, you know, I'll just try to do better. That's the famous saying, I'll just try to do better. Well, you know what, folks? Sometimes trying to do better isn't good enough. Sometimes trying to do better, people are going to go to hell because we're trying to do better. No, let's succeed. Let's not be a failure. Let's have a drive and a determination to get the things done that need to be done. So how are we going to teach our kids to double our talents? We got to teach them and give them opportunities to be servants. We must not accept excuses for failure. And number three is this. We must lead by example. We must lead by example. You know what? The unjust steward here, he had two stewards who were just, who set examples before him. All these stewards worked for the same master. And you know what? He had a godly example here. 1 Corinthians 4:14, Paul says this, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." You know what Paul was saying? Look, I am an example. I live my life in such a way you can pattern after. Now you do what I'm doing. And you know what? Adults, parents, we must set the example if we expect our kids to double their talents. We must lead by example. 1 Corinthians 10:33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And you know what we should be saying as dads? Hey son, you follow me as I am following Christ. You know what we need to be saying as Christian school teachers? Hey students, you follow me as I am following Christ. You know what we need to be saying as adults of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Hey young people, hey, you follow me as I am following Christ. That is fair to our young people. That is fair to our young people. That we don't expect them to do something we ourselves would not be willing to do. Why is it that our young people oftentimes aren't doubling their talents? Folks, I'm going to be real candid. It's because they don't see us doubling ours. Why aren't our kids doubling theirs? Because oftentimes we don't double ours. Now, there's a perfect Bible example of this. And we find that in the life of King Solomon. Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon gives some instruction to his son. Let me read it to you here. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be ornaments of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now that was some sound wisdom given from Solomon to his son. Now, let's see if his son followed the advice. 1 Kings chapter 14. "And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Amoritess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill under every green tree. And there was also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abomination of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Now wait a minute. Is that what Solomon instructed his son to do? No. I mean, is that what he said? "My son, hear the instruction, forsake not the law of thy mother." Is that, I mean, was that the instruction that his son, that he'd given his son? Is that what Rehoboam did? No. You know why? Because Rehoboam didn't do as Solomon did, said he did as Solomon did. Rehoboam didn't do what his dad said, although he had countless pages of instruction that his father had given him. "Son, do this, do this, do this." What did Rehoboam do? Did he do what daddy said? No, he did what daddy did. Let me show you. 1 Kings chapter 11. "For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like exactly what Rehoboam did. You know why? Because Solomon could say all he wanted to say, instruct his son all the way he wanted to instruct him about right, but when it came down to it, he didn't really give a hoot what his dad said. All he cared about was what his dad did. Now, as a father, that right there shows me I better keep my walk pretty straight. Because folks, our kids, they can, and they should listen to us. They should obey what we say. But when it comes down to it, the kids that turn out right turn out from homes whose parents are the real deal. Those are the kids that turn out right. And I'm not saying if a kid hasn't turned out right, doesn't mean that the parents aren't doing right. Because, folks, when it comes down to it, kids have to choose on their own. They have a free will. God gives them a free will. And they have to choose on their own. But as parents, I would hate to think that the reason maybe they went astray is because I led them that way. And as a father, that burdens me. That's something that will keep you awake at night praying for your kids. As parents, we must live it in front of them. May it be our testimony, just like it was Paul's. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am Christ. Hey, Dad, you want your son to be a servant? Then why don't you just not tell him to be a servant, but why don't you show him how to serve and have him serve right alongside with you? Hey, instead of just telling your kid, hey, you need to go do something at church, why don't you say, all right, son, hop in the vehicle, we're going to go down to church and do something tonight. And serve right alongside with your son. What a great opportunity how to teach your kid to be a servant. Mom, you want your daughter not to be make excuses for her failures. Why don't you not make excuses for when you fail either? Instead of making excuses for when something goes wrong, instead of wanting to blame it everybody else, why don't you just say, you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And be an example for our young people. Teach her that it is a big deal when she fails and show her how to be successful next time. Folks, we must lead by example. I mean, you expect us as the authority here to lead by example. I mean, you would not have me as the principal of youth pastor here. You would not. You would demand my resignation if you knew that I was down at the bar drinking this weekend. You wouldn't have it. You know why? Because I set a terrible example for your young people. If you know that I'm sneaking off going to the movies, there's no way you would want me being the youth pastor of your kids. And you shouldn't. But if it's okay for the youth pastor to be held to that standard, we should hold ourselves to that standard. We expect our pastor to be held a certain standard. Well, we need to see that exact same standard because, folks, whether we like it or not, you influence your kids' lives more than I ever will. You have more influence over them than me and Pastor Jerry combined will ever have because you're the parents, and that's the way God's made it. Now, folks, we must help our kids double their talents. So how are we going to do that? Number one, we got to teach them and give them opportunities to be servants. We must not expect excuses for failure. And we must lead by example. Now, I said all that to get to where I'm going right here tonight. Is this. If you haven't noticed, we're trying to help the young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is Missions Emphasis Month. And the reason I preach this message tonight, because I need your help as parents to help me help your kids be missionaries. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. I got right here a teen prayer list. And I made this teen prayer list from the Sunday school attendant record for the last 4 months. I went back to the records, I pulled them, and just since November, I made a list. And on this list, I come up with 64 kids that have come through Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the last 4 months since November. Okay? 64 of them. Now, out of those 64 kids, we're averaging about 25 on Sunday night. Where are the other 40 at? Where are they at? Folks, these kids are slipping through the cracks. And you know why they're slipping through the cracks? It's not because the bus captains aren't making efforts. You know, there's many kids on this list that I personally have been by to see myself. I've talked to them. I've talked to their parents. Their bus captains go by and see them. We can't get them to come. Or if they do come, we can't get them to come back on Sunday night. You know why? Because they expect that from the youth pastor. And you know why they come to church? They don't come to church so the youth pastor can be their friend. They come to church so they can find some real friends. Now, I love our young people at this church. But young people, you got to help me. Too many of these kids are slipping through the cracks. Where's the other 40 at? We have transportation for them. We'll go get them. Why aren't they coming? Now, I understand we're not going to get them all. I understand that. I'm a realist. Okay, I don't expect to have 100% success. But I think we need to have better than what we're having now. I see no reason why we couldn't take 40 young people to camp this summer. We're averaging 25 right now. Why couldn't we take 40 to camp this summer? So, folks, the reason I brought this message tonight is so you'll understand the direction I'm trying to take us here. I'm trying to get your kids to help me reach these fringe kids. Now, folks, Pastor Jerry's been preaching some of this to our teens. He preached this to last weekend at the youth conference down in Owensboro. He preached this in a split session. He taught a little bit about this Friday night over at Brother Sluter's church at the youth conference. But, folks, listen to me. These kids need help. You know why they come here? You know why they come here on Sunday morning? Because they need help. You know what the orange hair and the earrings and the baggy pants are all about? It's a cry for help. They need someone to be their friend. And folks, pray tell me, if the core kids of Blessed Hope Baptist Church aren't going to be their friends, who are? Who are going to be their friends? Now, I need help reaching these kids. And your young people, I need your help to reach them. Okay? You go back and look in those Sunday school records, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find this. You're going to find check mark when they come, check mark blank, check mark blank, check mark blank, 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 they're gone. And you know what, folks? We've got just sometimes a few weeks to try to reach out and help these kids. Now, why is it on Sunday morning we have bus kids sitting by themselves? We should not have one bus kid sitting by themselves on Sunday morning. When there are plenty of our core kids. Now listen to me, guys. I am not against you being friends. I am not against your kids having friends. But listen to me. Sunday morning is the time for them to try to pull some of these kids in. Not a time for them to be buddy-buddy in their little groups. Now, young people, I got to have your help. I can't do it on my own. I'm trying. I'm going and visiting them. I've seen them. There's one boy on this lift I personally have been by to see four or five times. He used to come every Sunday morning, and now he hasn't been here in a while. Why is that? It's because I need some of you guys to be his friend. What's wrong with teenagers, you guys that can drive? What's wrong with next time you make a trip down to Linton or something on the way to run an errand, stopping by and seeing one of these kids and saying, hey, we missed you at church Sunday. I want to be your friend. Won't you come and be my friend? You know what that would do with some of these kids? That would pull them in. They would be here on Sunday morning. And listen, when they did come, really be their friend. Okay? Don't do this fakey stuff. Okay? I can't stand hypocrisy, you know, when it comes to, want to go up and say, hey, how you doing? And then that's it. That's not being a friend. I'm talking about taking an interest, being an interest in the lives of these kids. Folks, listen to me. I'm not talking about reaching the kids in the community. I'm talking about reaching the kids who already come to Blessed Old Baptist Church. Could you imagine what that would do for our church here, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church? If we could reach even 20 more of these fringe kids and help them get in here? Now, let me give you some action steps that you can start doing this week to help me reach these kids. Number one is this. Start praying for them and let God break your heart for them. Any of you teenagers that go here that's in this youth group, if you want one of these lists, you come and see me. I'll get you one of them. Now, your name's on there. You know why your name's on there? Because I pray for you too. And you're just as important as they are. If I don't have you, I can't reach them. Your name's on here. And you know why? As teenagers, we need to pray for each other. If there's ever been a time in the history of Christianity where teenagers are assaulted more, I don't think there's been a time. It's harder to be a Christian, I believe, as a teenager in 2008 than it's ever been. Now, that may be my opinion. But you know what? We are bombarded with garbage after garbage after garbage off the assault of our kids' mind. You can't even watch a stinking commercial without filth and garbage being influenced in your mind. It's wicked. It's wicked. If there's ever a time where we got to be good Christians, it's now. I understand, young people, it's not easy. I understand that. But what's so hard about doing something that's not easy? Your dads do it every day. They don't go to work every day. They do things that aren't easy. It's time that we as teenagers do some things that aren't easy. Okay, I understand it's hard to be a Christian, but we got to do it. Remember what I said? We can't make excuses for failure. Start praying for them and let God break your heart for them. Any teenager who wants one of these lists, you come see me. I'll get you one this week. I'll laminate it just like this, and you can carry it in your Bible, and you can start praying for these kids. Folks, we got to get a burden for them. We got to let God break our heart for them. Okay? Number two is this. Take an interest in them. Take an interest in them. Most of them have cell phones. Nowadays, almost every kid has a cell phone. I heard the other day of an 8-year-old having a cell phone. That's crazy. But kids nowadays have cell phones. Okay? Take an interest in them. What's wrong with making a couple phone calls a week? Calling them, see how they're doing. Asking them how their day went. If they need help in their homework, maybe go by and try to help them. Okay? Now, guys, don't get too excited. I don't want you helping a teenage girls like that. Okay? Guys can get guys' phone numbers. Girls can get girls' phone numbers. All right? Thank you. But now listen to me. Take an interest in them. Okay? Young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I need you taking an interest in these kids that come in here on Sunday morning. Okay? Find out what they like. Buy them a candy bar in the week. Bring them one of their favorite pops to church. Take an interest in them. Not just go up to him and say, hey, how you doing? Did you have a good week? That's not taking an interest in him. Be their friend. Number three is this. Make contact with them through the week. Call them. Go by and see them. Some of you guys with driver's license, some of these kids live in your neighborhood. They live not very far out of the way. Go by and see them. Go by and, you know, just see how they're doing through the week. Make contact with them. Be their friend. And which brings you to number four is this. Be a genuine friend. You know what it's like to want a friend. Every kid wants a friend. We adults want friends. And if we're going to reach these kids, I got to have your help. Now, parents, that's why I brought this message to you tonight. Because, you know, your kids do what you tell them to do. And that's why I wanted to bring this and present this to you. Because, you know, the kids are limited by your authority. I won't struggle with your authority over your kid. Okay? If there's a power struggle between us and you, you win automatically. Okay? I'm not going to struggle with power for your kid. But parents, don't you want your kids to double their talents? As a parent, don't you want your kid, that if the rapture happened tonight, to stand before God and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I want that for my kids. I would think you'd want that for your kids. Now, young people, parents, I need your help. I want to reach some of these fringe kids. And you know what? Thank goodness we are reaching some of them. We got some of them here tonight that weren't here 6 months ago that the Lord's allowed us to have. I personally, when we started this year's youth group, I was praying for five of our public school bus kids to start coming faithful, attending on Sunday night, and praise the Lord, he's given us that many. He's given us a few more than that. But folks, I'm not satisfied with five. There's so many more to be reached. I saw kids walking here this morning. You probably saw them, kind of just with that look on their face, just kind of sitting there. If we're not careful, we'll get a hypocrisy attitude and think, well, they're just having a bad attitude. No, they're not. They need help. They walk in here. You see a public school teenager walk in here, sit with their arms crossed and kind of slouch down. It's because they need help. And if we don't help them, it's not going to be two more and more weeks, and they're not going to be walking in here anymore. We've already lost enough of them. Now, I'm not throwing blame at anybody. Oh, you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm asking for help. I need your help to reach these kids. Now, if you'll help me get involved, I'll partner with you. You know what? I'm not going to ask you to do anything I won't do. I'll go see him. I'll try to spend some time with him. But when it comes down to it, they need a friend. Okay? And I can only befriend the kids so much. You can do a lot more than I can probably do. Okay? So, folks, let's be busy, young people, about doubling our talents. Now, I believe Jesus Christ is coming real soon. And I think we've heard a lot of preaching about that. And I think if you're any type of Christian that has any kind of spiritual awareness about you, you understand it's probably not going to be too much longer. So why don't we take the time we've got left and invest it in others? Let's spend some time trying to reach out to some of these kids. You never know. We could have some more Bible college students here in a few years. You know, Brother Hong needed some help in Australia. I'd like to think that maybe some of the kids we reach could go help him in Australia one of these days. Brother Leonard needs some help in Belize. I'd like to think that maybe some of the kids that we reach in 5 or 6 or 8 years could be down in Belize helping one of our missionaries. I would like to think that we'll have some future bus workers in this room. Who's going to carry on Blessed Old Baptist Church? So folks, I pray that you won't take wrong what I brought tonight. I'm not mad at your kids. I'm not down on your kids. I need their help. And as parents, I need you to help me help your kids double their talents. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Thank you for the word that you brought to us tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this parable. And God, help us all, Lord, whether we're teenagers, God, we're young adults, we're older adults. God, we all need to be busy about doing your work. And God, we cannot do it in the power of the flesh. We got to have the power of the Spirit. God, and we just need you. Now, Lord, I pray that you take this invitation tonight and do what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.